realfaith.org.au.
We were downstairs together and we were both going to work, and he came to me to say goodbye, you know, to kiss, and he put his hand up to my cheek and said, "Mum, you've got too much rouge on, too much blush on, you don't need it." So I looked up to him and I said, "Oh, Johnny, what would I ever do without you?" And he said to me, "Oh, Mum, you'd manage." And, you know, I think that was probably the last words he spoke to me, which was incredible, wasn't it? Yeah.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Lois Thompson is a pastor, social worker and author of the book Hope in Cancer, Death and Grief. And unfortunately, she has had more than her fair share of all three of these. But through it all, she's experienced the unmistakable presence of God and hope in her journey. Lois Thompson, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. And before we talk about your experience with cancer, death, and grief, let's go back and find out a little bit about you. What is your background? And please share with us that remarkable story about how you met your husband.
Yes. I guess really for me, my story starts when we met. I was very blessed to meet my soulmate. So 3 years after we were married, we were driving along and we had our little gorgeous daughter in the back seat, and the topic of suicide came up. And Pat said to me, "You know, when people are going to commit suicide, I really don't think that they tell people that that's what they're going to do. But," he said, "I believe that they can actually reach out for help at that time." And he said that was the case for me. He said, "I was going to throw myself in front of a truck, and I looked up the road and I saw the telephone box." That was in the 1970s.
Back when there were telephone boxes?
Yeah, not many red boxes anymore. But Lifeline had not long been in Townsville. Townsville is a country city in Queensland. And they'd been advertising that if you needed help, you know, to call that number. And so he started to share with me what he had said to the counsellor. And he said there was nothing about suicide in it. And he was telling me that, you know, he came from Wales and he landed in Perth, and then he had a number of jobs, and he told me the story, how he got to Townsville. And halfway through, I said to him, "And you said this, and you said this." And he looked at me, and we realised 3 years after we were married that I was the telephone counsellor in Lifeline the night that he reached out.
Wow.
Yeah, just amazing, just amazing.
So you were volunteering there?
Yes, I was a volunteer. I had graduated as a social worker and actually had a position in the community health centre up there. But because a lot of welfare programs were just sort of basically starting, I was a volunteer at Lifeline, a volunteer at the women's shelter in Townsville. Yeah.
And you remembered that conversation?
Oh, well, as I said to my dear husband at the time, he said, "How can you remember that?" And I said, "Oh, your phone call was very memorable."
Oh, wow.
He was an alcoholic, and you know, alcoholics have very interesting stories, and I remembered what he said, and told me his life story basically on the phone, and then said he was living in the hotel and had no money left after his first night of his pay. Because he, you know, shouted everybody in the pub and drank it. And, so for me as a Lifeline counsellor, it was pretty easy to sort of see, and a social worker, to actually get to the bottom of his problem. And I actually said to him on the phone, "Do you think maybe alcohol has something to do with your problems?" And he had said yes. And we had a great system at that time, and I'm not sure what Lifeline does now, but as a Lifeline counsellor, and it was set up so that we could actually contact somebody from Alcoholics Anonymous, keep him on the line. And so I said to him, "Well, would you like somebody from Alcoholics Anonymous to come and speak with you?" And he said yes. And that's what happened that night. So, yeah, so his story was quite a memorable one. Pretty awesome, hey?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
it was an amazing story. It's wonderful. But you see, God put us together. We were soulmates, and just amazing. Amazing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's
story.
Amazing. And he eventually becomes a pastor. So can you briefly kind of share his journey? He goes from alcoholism to being suicidal to becoming a pastor?
Yes, absolutely.
And I think he says that you saved his life?
Yes. It stopped him from suiciding. And you know, and I think that's so important to for people who are contemplating suicide. You know, we had the most wonderful life after that point. I think we met about 18 months through community health after that Lifeline call.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met and we had a great life together. We had 5 children and just so blessed. And we just felt so blessed that we had found our soulmate.
Well, I think at that point you knew you were supposed to be together. God put you together.
Yes, that's right. Yep. And one of the community nurses, she said, you know, she was going to take him to her church. And I thought, oh, no, I won't be outdone. I'll take him to my church. And on the way home, he said, you know, I think if you put an O in God and do good, then that's a good way to live. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, well, that would be good if Jesus hadn't come. But Jesus came as our Savior to save us from sin and basically gave him the gospel story. And that night he went home and accepted Jesus into his life.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, this story just gets better and better. So you were instrumental in leading him to the Lord as well.
Yeah, that's right. What a blessing, hey?
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. And then, as you said, years later, you found out that you had met, so to speak, through that Lifeline conversation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, pretty amazing. But I suppose Townsville's not a huge city as such, so
okay.
We were bound to.
So what were the odds?
We did meet, praise God, yeah. And then our journey as a couple with the Lord started, and so he was totally sold out for God and wanted to serve him. So
and became a pastor.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so went out. Yeah, so I think it was 4 years after we were married that he went into the ministry. Yeah.
Wow.
And he actually found it easier to be in the ministry than me.
Is that right? Yeah, because you're a pastor as well. You're both pastors or were?
Well, yeah. Well, I was a pastor's wife before I became a pastor.
Oh, okay. So your book is about cancer, death, and grief. We haven't talked about any of that yet, but unfortunately there is more of that in your story. Let's fast forward several years later. You have many children, you said, and one is a son named John.
Yes, my eldest son, John, he was killed in a car accident just 5 minutes around the road from our house. Yeah. So that was the beginning of a really tough few years for us as a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about that day, your last conversation with him.
Oh, yeah. I think that God will often prepare people for loved ones passing away. And certainly I have a chapter in the book of the things that happened. That there's more than one story, really, about John and I and the just the lead up to his death. But the morning that he actually died was a precious time that I've been able to keep in my heart. I believe it was from God to comfort me. And we were downstairs together and we were both going to work. And he came to me to say goodbye, you know, to kiss. And he put his hand up to my cheek and said, "Bum, you've got too much rouge on, too much blush on. You don't need it." So I looked up to him and I said, "Oh, Johnny, what would I ever do without you?" And he said to me, "Oh, Mum, you'd manage." And, you know, I think that was probably the last words he spoke to me, which was incredible, wasn't it? Yeah. So I'm sorry, I get a bit emotional when I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, because at the time you think, oh, well, that's just a little exchange between a mother and a son.
Yep.
You know, not going to think anything of it. But then now looking back, and that was the last conversation you had.
Yes. And I think when you're in grief, you certainly look back at what you've said and what you've done and, you know, your relationship with the person before they passed away. And I was certainly very blessed that I had some good moments, and that was incredible from the Lord to comfort me during that time. I think the Lord does give some comfort to those that are going to mourn before the death, and certainly the Lord does comfort after the death.
Okay, and then some time passes, and your beloved husband, who we were talking about before, unfortunately, he's diagnosed with bowel cancer?
Yeah, he was diagnosed with bowel cancer in 2009, but before he was diagnosed with cancer, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2006, and my daughter was diagnosed with bowel cancer in 2008.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when Pat actually was diagnosed with cancer in 2009, it was like but I've had cancer. Penny's had cancer. How can he have cancer?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of cancer in one family.
It sure, yeah, absolutely, definitely. It was a shock, and it's always a shock. When you're diagnosed with cancer, it's a shock. It's tough. I don't think there's any way of getting around that. I think cancer just brings out fear, and it's related to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really think it's going to happen to you. And I guess that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, because I thought, I don't want to waste all this tragedy in my life. God's been so good through it all to me, that, you know, the word says that, that we go through suffering to help others who are going through that same suffering. And we live in a world of suffering, grief and death and sadness. That's the reality of this world. Our hope is to go to eternity, where in heaven we're not going to have any more tears, but we're in the fallen world, and so we have these problems to overcome.
Now, when you go through these tragedies and unfortunate circumstances, you have a choice. You can kind of go internal and just grieve, or you can look at it like you're looking at it, as this is an opportunity to help others. I mean, is that kind of the choice you have at the time?
At the time, I certainly never dreamed that I'd be writing a book about it. It's just a matter of surviving, really. But surviving with Jesus is the best way to survive. I can't imagine how people do it without the Lord. My GP reassured me that they do. But I'm just so grateful, and my family's grateful that we did know Jesus, and we do know Jesus at those times. And the Lord was just so present in our situation. He gave us some, you know, verses out of the Bible, the love of Christians, the prayers of Christians. We were just held up, really. Mm-hmm. When you feel like, you know, the poem about the footprints, where, you know, there's two footprints, and then there's lot of footprints, and then Jesus says, well, that's the time that I carried you. So at the time of all of that, you know, death of my son and the diagnosis of my daughter having bowel cancer at the age of 28 and being pregnant, and then, Pat passing away, and then I had a recurrence of the breast cancer on my chest wall last year. So it's just a matter of hanging on to Jesus, going through that tunnel, going through that valley, because there is light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. and there is hope. And as I say, at the time, writing a book to help others and even thinking about helping others, Justin wasn't in the equation, because others were helping us. That's the reality of it. Other people were helping us. So when you're going through, it's wonderful to have the body of Christ around and to just carry you and pick you up and, you know, be directed by the Lord in doing that. Yeah.
Our guest today is Lois Thompson. She's a pastor, social worker, and author of the book Hope in Cancer, Death, and Grief. We'll have more of this conversation when we return right here on Real Faith.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401-132-888.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. We're talking to Lois Thompson. She's a pastor, social worker, and author of the book Hope in Cancer, Death, and Grief. And before the break, we were talking about the unfortunate occurrences in her life. There was the death of her son, who died in a car accident. So that was instant. That was like within 5 minutes of her seeing him. And then also her husband, unfortunately, passed away. But that was after like a 2-year battle with bowel cancer. Is that right, Lois?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Now, grieving-wise, is it different going through those two different experiences?
Oh, yes, I think so. My husband, we realized about a year before he passed away that the battle for healing in the natural was not going to be won, mm-hmm. and that his cancer was going to be the cause of his death. So we had time to actually talk and say a number of goodbyes. And he also had a heart problem, and I always thought, and I think he always thought, that the cause of his death would be a heart attack. But the wonderful medical marvels of today's society is, you know, the stents and the bypass surgery. So just before they, actually when he was in hospital having his last stent, that's when they found the cancer, but they had actually made his heart really strong. And when he was suffering, it's very hard for the loved ones to see their loved one suffer. And one day I just sort of thought, oh, this suffering's too much that he's going through. And I said to him, love, wouldn't you have rather just died of a heart attack and not gone through all the suffering? And I was really surprised at his answer. I thought he was going to say yes, because that's what I was thinking. But he said no. He said, I really appreciate time to prepare, time to say goodbye and time to prepare to be with the Lord. So, so we had people coming to visit him and saying their goodbyes and him saying his goodbyes. So there was a preparation. And certainly, I think with cancer or another terminal illness, you do a lot of grieving along the way. And towards the end, almost it's a relief in a way that the suffering is over when you see your loved one suffering. Whereas with John, the shock is just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, 19 years old in the prime of his life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely crazy. To have the police, you know, knock on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning and say that your son's had a car accident is just horrific. And his accident was 5 minutes from home, just around the corner. You know how they say people driving home, and they often, you know, the accident often happens close to home. So, so the shock is just crazy. You just, you at first you find it, you know, you can't believe it. And then it's just so traumatic. I think it's just so traumatic. And it was traumatic for the whole family, for all my children. I regret that I have is that I was so consumed with grief. I was in such a heartbroken state, really, literally. I felt my heart tear at that point. And I was so broken that I don't feel that I was able to actually help my children. And that's a regret. And I say that in the book, that it's a regret. But you're thrown into such a turmoil in your life with sudden death. So the grieving is quite different, I think. I think sudden death is certainly more traumatic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's regret too. I think there's regret on people's journey of grief when it's sudden. So I was blessed that that I had a positive experience with John.
You mean your last conversation with him?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other things that happened as well that virtually, like in hindsight, I felt that the Lord had prepared me. But for my children, they didn't have those experiences, and so they experience a different type of grief. Regret and guilt is a significant factor in grief, and it's a normal process of grief. And a lot of people actually sort of they're hard on themselves if they have grief and anger and those sort of things. But that all comes with a sudden death, I believe.
Now, you said that you regretted not helping your children, which, I mean, it's very understandable. You were grieving yourself, but hindsight is 20/20. If you had to do it over again, what advice would you give people who maybe find themselves, unfortunately, in that situation?
Yes, absolutely. I believe the best way to help somebody who is grieving is to listen to them, just spend time with them. Hear what they're thinking and feeling and their emotions. Let them talk. Just spend time with them. And certainly I think that would be a helpful piece of advice for people who, as a family, you know, the loss is great. And I think in my situation, I was so consumed with my grief that all I could think about was me.
That's very human. I mean, everybody couldn't relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. As you say, hindsight is a wonderful thing.
But if you can, in the ideal world, with the Lord's strength, maybe if you had time to chat and listen to what your children were going through?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd spend more time with each one of them individually after the death. Yeah.
Yeah, just such a difficult thing to go through. But that's not the end of the story. Then also in your life, your daughter was diagnosed with cancer at 28 years of age.
Yeah.
Tell us about her journey.
Yeah, well, that was a big shock. She was 24 weeks pregnant and she'd been unwell and they all thought it was morning sickness. But I, my husband and I, we'd been away from home and I came home and when I saw her, I was absolutely horrified. I thought we're dealing more than morning sickness here. She had that sickly grey look of a cancer patient with weight loss. You know, she was supposed to be blooming in a pregnancy, but she looked really terrible. And, so the night that I came home and saw her, I said to her husband, you just got to take her to the hospital. And, that's what happened. And on that occasion, they actually admitted her. They'd been to the hospital a couple of times before because she was so sick, but this time they admitted her, and then she was diagnosed with bowel cancer a week later. So she was 24 weeks pregnant and 28 years of age. But the hospital was absolutely amazing and wonderful. And
If I understand this correctly, if it wasn't for the fact that she was pregnant, she would have not been diagnosed. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. The doctors, they said that they believed that if she wasn't pregnant, that the bowel cancer would have gone undetected until it was sort of quite advanced and in her lymph system. And if that had been the case, that her prognosis would have been quite poor. So they certainly considered that her daughter, who is now 9, saved her life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how is she doing today?
She's doing well, thank you.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we haven't even talked about your own battle with breast cancer.
Yep.
We're quickly running out of time, but obviously we want to talk about your journey as well.
Oh, okay. Right. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2006, and it was quite advanced, and so I had the mastectomy and the chemotherapy and the radiation. But one of my big thoughts when I was diagnosed was, oh, my goodness, I wish I had have taken that insurance policy, because 2 years before, I actually had it in the mail that I would get $30,000 if I was ever diagnosed with cancer. And at the time, the premium seemed to be really reasonable, and I showed it to my husband. We looked at it, and I said, oh, I'm not going to get cancer, and threw it away. And so when I got diagnosed with cancer, I'm thinking, oh, darn, I wish I had taken that insurance policy. And I can assure you, I actually thought that more than once.
But we never think it's going to happen to us.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Eric. Absolutely. It's 1 in 8 in Australia that by the age of 85 will be diagnosed with breast cancer. So that's quite a high percentage, really. But for some reason, it's not going to happen to us. It's going to happen to somebody else. Yeah. But again, the medical teams have been amazing, and I have met some amazing people along the way. There's lots of silver linings to cancer.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. The name of your book is called Hope in Cancer, Death, and Grief. We've heard a lot about the cancer, death, and grief. Let's end with the hope part of your story. What was giving you hope and giving you strength to get through all of these ups and downs that we've been talking about?
Oh, well, praise God. The God of the Bible is the God of hope. And Jesus Amen. And the Holy Spirit and Father God have been so incredibly powerful throughout the whole thing. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. There's so many accounts of God being in the midst, speaking to us through his word, giving us a word in season in the church situation. God was just so real. And the thing is with faith, I think you take that step and you're not sure when you first take the step. It's a seed of mustard. But then you put your hope in God, and then as you put your hope in him, he will do something. He will give you a scripture, or he'll bring somebody across your path. He will just intervene in that situation so that you have no doubt that God is real. So your hope actually goes to faith. And, we have so much. Well, we have hope. We have hope for eternal life. We have hope in life. We have hope that we get through the dark tunnel and the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus is with us. And all those scriptures that says that he's our refuge, he's our strength, he's our fortress, he's our peace, he's our comforter, they are all just so real to me because he has proved himself. So Jesus is the answer.
Wow. Lois Thompson, thank you so much for sharing your story and your hope with us today.
Thank you.
Once again, the name of her book is called Hope in Cancer, Death, and Grief.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.